Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to continue today, as we did on Friday and all last week, a special kind of Phil Hendry show, a different kind of Phil Hendry show, and that is a show that continues to talk about and get opinions on and report the news of the attacks last week and the events subsequent to that here in the United States. The Phil Hendry Show is a comedy show, and we pointed this out last week, that comedy's out of business in the United States. Maybe it'll get back to being in business here in the next few days. We don't know. I'm going to watch how television deals with it as to how we're going to conduct this program, as to whether or not we get back into the usual kinds of material that we deal with, or doing it in the way that we do it. We do a satirical kind of show, a show that comments on the human experience and life in the United States, etc. But we haven't done that kind of show since the events of last Tuesday, and we're not going to for the foreseeable future, because it's something that just isn't going to fly. And I'll be interested to see, and I understand tonight, isn't Leno going back on the air tonight? And I think Letterman's going back on the air tonight. I'm gonna be really interested to see how those guys deal with it. I'll take my cue from them. I mean, in terms of the material that we deal with on this program, we like to think that we're cutting edge. But in terms of when we do it, I'll take my cue from somebody else. All right, I've never been really that strong at knowing, you know, when something is appropriate and when something isn't. I mean, I'm being really honest with you. I know how I feel about things, and I know how I like to think about things, and I know when I want to comment on things. And frankly, I've been doing nothing but writing since last week. I mean, we're constantly writing the show. But I can't use any of that stuff, because now isn't the time, now isn't the place, in my opinion. I can't imagine today being the day that people get back to doing shtick. I can't imagine today being the day that television, you know, TV is still running. Some of the cable channels are still running some of their entertainment programming. The movie channels are. I don't know about what the networks did this past weekend. I think it was constant coverage. It was just as far as the networks went, Fox and the Big Three. But beyond that, I don't know what they've got planned for this week. Now, I do have this. Television networks are talking about airing an industry-wide telethon Friday night as a benefit to raise money for relief and recovery from the terrorist attacks. The goal is to show the special, which would last 2 or 3 hours, on as many broadcast and cable networks as possible simultaneously, according to 3 industry executives. Such an event is believed to have no precedent within the TV industry. And Michael Jackson is putting together an ensemble recording in an effort to help the families and survivors of the terrorist attacks on the United States, according to his publicist yesterday. The song "What More Can I Give" features artists including Destiny's Child, Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, Justin Timberlake of NSYNC, Britney Spears, and Maya. The song, which is currently being recorded, features lyrics to help the world's citizens find solace in the wake of the attack on America, and to create a sense of global unity in the face of mindless violence and mass murder. So those are two things that the entertainment business is doing. But how we're going to proceed on this show, I'm definitely going to be taking my cue from the other entities in the entertainment world. Like I say, we don't mind doing edgy material, but I'm not going to stick my neck out and begin presenting any kind of a show like that until I'm pretty sure that people are ready to deal with it on that level. And right now, rightfully so, we're not ready to deal with it on that level. Right now, we're still talking about, still absorbing, still reacting, still feeling, and certainly watching Washington to see whether or not this country is going to be at war. And by that, I mean in the extreme sense, a military war, and in the broadest sense, some kind of action diplomatically, economically, under the aegis of the United Nations, or with NATO, or how we're going to do that. And when that happens, things are going to be kicked up to another level. And that's just the way things go. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, as we did all last week. We'll continue to do today. I don't put a topic out there. I don't know what to expect on the telephones, but we take the phone calls as they come in. Here's something that appeared today on CNN, and it's part and parcel of some things we've been talking about. Reports of hate crimes against Muslims and Southeast Asians have risen exponentially across the U.S. in the wake of Tuesday's terror attacks. The backlash has prompted one leader of a foreign nation, India, the Indian Prime Minister, to ask President Bush Sunday to ensure the safety of Sikhs living in the United States. My understanding is somebody shot and killed a Sikh either over the weekend or last week here in the United States, which, if anything, can point up just how ignorant people who practice hate are. That stupid individual shot a Sikh. That's not a Muslim. A Sikh lives in India. Sikh is akin more to the religion, the Hindu religion, not the Muslim religion. Now, here's something to think about, and I don't think anybody's thought about this. I haven't heard anybody talk about it, and it kind of goes hand in hand with some of the things we said last week about the Muslim community grabbing a hold of this, grabbing a hold of these events, and speaking out against those who are renegade or those people who have philosophically co-opted their religion. The United States is home, is the home to many Muslim people. I mean, we have Jews, we got Christians, and we got all kinds of people, and we've got Muslims living here. So that's like some, I would think that would be of some propaganda value. And what I mean by propaganda, I mean selling the fact that the United States, if you think we're conducting some kind of a holy war on Muslims, if you are a Muslim living in another country and you're buying what's being sold you about the United States being a great Satan, keep in mind that this country is the home to a lot of Muslim people. But it doesn't look too good when those Muslim people are being harassed and are being subjected to physical threats and are being subjected to verbal abuse. There have been 300 reports of harassment and abuse from Tuesday through Thursday. All of that stuff goes out the window when the world press gets a hold of that, and you know that they will, and they publicize all over the world, see, there's the great Satan, there's America, and there's how the American people deal with Muslims. And if you can't deal with the things that I'm talking about right now, if you don't quite understand it, if you're, quote, angry, well, I couldn't care less, really. You got to get it or you don't get it. You got to understand what's going on here or you don't. And one of the things that you got to get is that the United States being the home to many people who practice the Islamic faith, that is some value when the rest of the world looks at us and they look at how we live our lives and they look at the kind of country we have and they look at all of the great things that we have in this country. And then they also, on top of that, see that there are many Muslim people living and prospering in this country. And so it makes it difficult for a guy like bin Laden or whoever these guys are to sell this bill of goods about us being a great Satan or being a bad place for Muslims to live or being a, you know, just this despotic, totalitarian, anti-Muslim, pro-Satan country. You know, we're pro-Satan this week. Now, I've heard it said that there are many who practice perhaps the satanic faith. Hey, there's another group of people that practice their religion freely in this country, Satanists. But they don't make us pro-Satan. So anyway, but you can keep saying that all you want. Muslims aren't terrorists, but people get angry and they want to do something. And if they haven't got any clue as to what to do, then they go out and they do stupid things. I tried to give you guys some direction last week in terms of people running off and enlisting in the Army and the Navy and the U.S. and U.S. Air Force and the Marines, that the CIA and the FBI might be good places to start. And we were talking about that last week, and I just found out that the CIA resumes that they've received at the CIA have gone up. They've quadrupled. Now, I don't know what kind of nuts they're getting applying for membership in the CIA. Maybe bin Laden is trying to get in. Maybe there's some Muslim terrorists who think, hey, this is the next brainchild, this is the next brainstorm. They're going to try to become CIA agents and disrupt the covert operations of the United States. I really wouldn't suggest that. Because I don't think you just apply for, it's not like filling out an application at Taco Bell. Yeah, we need a guy Sunday night. Because I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult, and I think that over time you're going to be discovered. But for all, freedom-loving and America and country-loving patriotic people and those kinds of things, the CIA and the FBI have been accepting a record number of resumes. I also pulled something off the web that was interesting. The predecessor to the CIA was a government agency called OSS. Before there was a CIA, there was the Operation for Strategic Services, and they operated in World War II, and they came up with many of the prototypes of those weapons and those spy gadgets that we've seen in James Bond movies. And we've all seen James Bond flicks where at the very beginning of the flick, he goes in and he talks to Q, and the Q shows him all the good stuff. Well, the OSS was developing those things during World War II. They have a matchbox camera. I mean, these were actual things that agents used. they have a deck of playing cards that if they were immersed in water, the backs would peel off. You'd have a map. They had little things like Liberator pistols that were small enough to hide literally in your wallet, little things like that. So all that information makes it really cool to be a spy. So check out the CIA website, and we have a link on our website, philhenryshow.com, which, by the way, if you want to know what the Phil Henry Show is all about, check out philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. Richard, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm calling you from Miami. I wanted to say two things. Number one was I've been listening to you for a long time, and I was hoping to, you know, I didn't know you were going to, you know, keep, you know, being serious and all. But I agree. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But, you know, I think, on the other hand, I think we need to show the world that, you know, this is, I mean, okay, we, you know, we suffered. We're going through all these things. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that are, I don't know what you call it. I think it's called news sick or, you know.
It's what?
You know, like when there's a
music?
Lot of news all over the
oh, they're getting television. They're getting overloaded on news?
Yeah, that's right.
And they're getting news sick?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know when you get back to business as usual doing the shtickaroo, because this event is the most profound in the history of this country. Everybody compares it to Pearl Harbor, but it's having a deeper impact. Because even at Pearl Harbor, you said, okay, you know, we got to declare war on Japan. Let's go and attack Japan. This war is going to take a much longer time to unfold. If we went to war right away and things were in full swing, maybe a couple, three, 4 weeks down the road, we could start doing entertainment as usual. Because even during World War II, there were movies, there were comics, and there were songs, and you know, all of those goofy movies we used to see that our grandparents watched with the Andrews sisters dancing on a battleship. You know, maybe I can do my show from an aircraft carrier one of these days. But I don't know how or when I'm going to be able to get back to doing the show the way I should. You got any ideas?
Well,
or the way I used to do it. Huh?
I think you'll know the right time.
Today ain't today.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing I wanted to say is, like, I don't know if going to war in a full scale would be a good solution. I think, as I heard one of the CIA former heads of the CIA said, that for years they've been sort of leaked. You know, they haven't been allowed to hire the right type of people to gather the right type of intelligence. They've been kind of being a you know, not allowed to work. I think
what intelligence operatives?
Yeah, I think
no, we didn't have enough. I mean, for the last 10 years, we disseminated the CIA's ability to gather intelligence
information. Right?
Yeah, so we got to get new guys in there. We need new.
I think
covert
they should
folk.
Let them work. I think they know how to work. I think they know how to gather intelligence, and I think they should be allowed to hire people that with not so nice backgrounds.
Right.
To get in there and find out who the hell is behind all these things, and then not to go in a full scale war, but maybe start hunting them down. It can take maybe 10 years, but you know, not allow our troops to go over there because it's just going to get messy. And then just
messy. I mean, what do you mean? It's like somebody spilled some milk on the floor. It's too messy.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
it's messy.
You got all these political issues, and you know, you still got all this. Arab countries that I don't know if they're going to be. I mean, right now they're saying, yeah, we you know, we support you and everything, but that's one thing, and the other was like we start sending people over there.
You know what, Richard? You know what? I understand what you're saying, man, and you know what? In a lot of ways, you're speaking in a way that I knew people would start speaking this week. Well, you know, do we have to go and do the? You know, all that righteous indignation and all of that anger and all of that, this will not stand. This week, isn't there another way that we could do this? I got to tell you, when we get back from the break, about a very interesting email conversation I'm having with a friend of my wife's who's a Quaker. And I didn't mean to spit out the term, I didn't mean to spit out the word Quaker with disdain. I mean, a Quaker, the religion of the Quaker religion. And they are pacifists. And this is a very dear friend of my wife. She's known her for years, and she sent an email to the house last week that was kind of a general That's a very good question. Craig Taylor, my engineer, asked, do Quakers have email? They're not Amish, Quaker. And I'll tell you about it when we come back. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The special edition, I guess, if you will, of the Phil Hendry Show, back in a minute.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Mesa, Arizona. Mesa police said Francisco Roque, 42 years of age, is being held on $1 million bond in the killing of Balbir Singh Sodhi, a Chevron gas station owner. Sodhi is from Punjab, India. He was shot to death while doing landscaping outside of his business on Saturday afternoon. This guy was shot. Now, I don't know the reasons. I honestly don't know. Unless the police have released the reasons that this man might have given them as to why he shot this guy. But I'm going to assume that it's appearing in this story on hate crimes because he shot this man for the reason that he thought he was Muslim. He's Sikh. S-I-K-H. And as you can tell from the story I just read to you, he's from India. That's not Arabia, that's not Afghanistan, that's not Iraq, that's India. And for those of you who don't know, India is a democracy, and it's an ally of ours, and I don't know what else to tell you. It ain't Islam. Now, why do you suppose this incredibly informed individual targeted this man? He had a turban and a beard. And this is America. This is the brain surgery that goes on. You know, 50, 60 years after our grandfathers and grandmothers were bugging the Japanese because they thought that every Japanese American they saw was a fifth columnist ready to blow up public buildings or bomb Pearl Harbor yet again. So I'll just say what I said. We got a lot of people living in this country who are members of the Islamic faith, Sikhs, Hindus, whatever. And I mean, that can be a point of positive propaganda for the country if you pitch it the right way. But if you're running around and killing them. All right, anyway, last caller talked about war being messy. I just wanted to make a point that maybe we should talk about right at the outset before we take any more phone calls. And this is something nobody wants to talk about, but I'm going to say it because it's an essential ingredient to being victorious in any endeavor in life, and I would imagine war is one of those things that one would like to be victorious at. And that is everything you do, every undertaking in your life, you have to embrace the possibility of defeat. Now, I don't care how many people want to call up and tell me, oh, we got to be positive. Never, ever allow that negative thinking. I'm not allowing negative thinking. What I'm telling you is you have to embrace the possibility of defeat. When you do that, it frees your mind to do the things that you need to do to be victorious. If you don't embrace the possibility of defeat, then you're not sharp, and you're not smart, and you are naive, and you run off to war like one of those poor flag-waving souls I was talking about in Russia or Germany at the beginning of World War I. World War II today is a movie that we watch, and we see it as, of course, something we were ultimately victorious at, and there were all kinds of really handsome guys flying planes and doing really neat stunts over Pearl Harbor like Ben Affleck did in that really bad movie back in May. But the facts are these. The United States, the people of the United States, didn't know if we were going to have a country left or not. We were fighting for our lives. We had no idea what the future held for America, 1941. There were a lot of people that were afraid. There were a lot of people abusing Japanese, a lot of people abusing Italians. There were a lot of people who were frightened that this was the end of civilization. The doomsayers had their day. They thought it was the end of the world. Hitler was the Antichrist. All of the predictable things that we're hearing today. And today, as we look at what we have ahead of us, whatever that may be, war, economic sanction, you have to embrace that possibility of defeat. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm sitting here talking about this stuff for the last week. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I sit here and I read these things and I go from the gut and I go from just instinct and what little knowledge I have of politics and geopolitics and history, and I just kind of throw it all out there, and it's all my opinion, just so you know, as if you didn't already know that. But there are times I'll say something, just exactly what did I mean by that? And then I have to kind of, thank God we have a commercial break so I can go back and reanalyze and either forget that I ever said it and pretend like I didn't, or come back with an even stronger point on it. So anyway, the whole thing about embracing defeat, or embracing the possibility of defeat, I hope I don't scare anybody, but it's a it's an Eastern religious philosophy. It's a Taoist philosophy where you can't have the bow going, you can't have the arrow going forward unless you have the bow being pulled backward. So you have to always, no matter what you do, have the opposite ever present, either in the way you think or the way that you go about doing what you're doing. So that's why I say, if you're going to go to war, and that's what we're going to do, I don't know what kind, but that's what we're going to do. I don't know whether it's a commando war, whether it's a full-on military operation, whether it's diplomatic. When you go to war, you have to embrace the possibility of defeat. It sharpens you up. You don't take anything for granted. You don't take things lightly. You understand what you're doing. And you give it your all. You give it every last ounce of whatever it is you got to give. But if you run around waving the flag and you sort of have sharp in your mind the memory of the Gulf War and how easy that was, that was a bad war in a lot of ways. I'm not saying it was a bad war, the outcome and the things we did. I don't want to discuss that, but it was such an easy thing. It's such a television event. It's just, there was something about that that was wrong. It was something about sitting there in front of the television set night after night with a bowl of Cheerios. In those days, I was a bachelor, so, you know, Fruit Loops, whatever I was eating for dinner, and a bottle of Yoo-Hoo, and watching this thing going on and on and on. There was something just wrong about how easy and how systematically we defeated that enemy. Not saying that was a bad thing. I know the guys that were involved in it, the men and the women that were involved in it, that was a very serious, life-changing and life-threatening moment. But for the rest of us back here in the States tying yellow ribbons and watching how fairly methodical our military operation was, there was something not quite right about a war that you... other than the families of the service people who were killed, that you don't suffer from. There's something that isn't right about that, or is fundamentally against nature. This war that we're about to embark upon, if it does cut into us a little bit, and it does inconvenience us, quote-unquote, or has any kind of a negative effect on our daily life, that's good. That's not bad. That's good. Because it keeps us sharp. Because, like I said, already I'm hearing the, well, I don't know whether we ought to do this, and maybe we ought to do something else. And I'll tell you as soon as we get through a few calls about my email communication with my Quaker friend in a minute. Here is Stephanie on The Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just calling to make the comment of if we keep shooting down people in the streets about the religion, about things that are going on overseas, what makes us think of it as Americans that they're not going to retaliate against us and not feel safe? How many of them do you think are waving the American flag and are proud to be an American?
Oh, you mean the immigrants will start shooting us?
If we keep,
bugging
keep
them?
Shooting them down.
Well, I don't know. I mean, people are going to defend themselves, but I don't think there'll be a wholesale operation of immigrants, you know, attacking Americans. I don't see that happening.
Well,
I think that's not the reason not to do it anyway. The reason not to do it is because
right. It's
against the law. It's un-American. It's unacceptable, and it's barbaric behavior.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yes, I do agree.
All right, Stephanie. Okay. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Okay, bye. Let's go over here now to Richard. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Richard.
Oh, Phil, I appreciate taking the call. I want to just mention four or five very quick things because I know there are many other callers. Yeah, I have a real gripe with the Islamic religion. First of all, I'd like to point out to you that there have been a number of holy wars over quite a number of years that we can reflect back on. And I'd say, frankly, Islamic leaders in this country, and particularly in Arab Islamic countries around the world, have been, frankly, piss poor when it comes to reprimanding these extremists and trying to mediate with them and try to discourage them from trying to hurt Americans and other innocent people. I believe that they're relatively non-outspoken about dealing with these extremists, contrary to what people in the Christian and Jewish religion would have done had similar incidents taken place. Secondly,
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Hold on for a minute, Richard. Richard,
yeah.
It took the Baptist, the Southern Baptists, and the Southern Christians 50 years to apologize for mass lynchings and Jim Crow laws. I don't think Christians have been all that good at running immediately to the fore and
which is domestic
and apologizing
with an international issue.
Well, I understand and I agree with you because we mentioned this last week. I said, where were all of the Islamic people of goodwill and all the Islamic people of sound thinking? Where are their international conferences on how to combat terrorism?
That's another quick point.
And where were their Jerusalem conferences on how to combat these extremists? So that's a good point.
A couple other very quick points. There's a racial conference held in South Africa recently which didn't accomplish a lot. And the reason they didn't was because of this, and they were going to deal with the United States issue and other European countries' issues about slavery in the past. But basically the Arab countries hijacked the conference, trying to focus on their hatred of Israel and really compromised what the purpose of the racism conference was. Number two.
Yeah, right.
Number three, Iran, but several days ago, the leaders of Iran came out and said no one could be capable of pulling off what happened at the World Trade Center except for Israel.
I heard that,
which
too.
Which basically totally discredits that country, all of their religious leaders, and every single Arab country for not sticking their mouth into the microphone and saying about Iran. That was an absurd statement. And finally, I'd like to just point out, just in general...
This phone is killing me, man. Your phone's really bad, so make it fast, because there's this...
kind of thing is going on.
That's all right. That's my point.
All right, brother, thank you. It's just a bad cell phone is all I'm saying. Thank you. Guy's right. Guy's not wrong. Dude's right. 1-800-449-8686. If you didn't hear what he said, because the phone was like fingernails on a chalkboard there, he's essentially saying, and I think he's right, that the Islamic... leaders of the more sober-thinking Islamic leaders internationally have failed to rise to the challenge of philosophically disarming these extremists. And the Arabs, in an unconscionable move, attempted to make a conference on reparations for slave trade and racism about Zionism and about the existence of the Israeli state. There's no doubt there's all kinds of deep-seated ancient hatred that has been so unaddressed, I guess, that has been so untreated, that has been so badly handled that we've reached this point today where it spills into the most unconscionable acts like turning jetliners into bombs. But you know what? As I said last week, I would be happy to sit down, to examine, to move forward in a conciliatory tone with any and all who feel they've been wronged internationally, but this ain't the time. Whatever chance they had for that, they missed when they flew those two planes into the World Trade Center. And so now this is a mop-up, a search and destroy. This is not unlike an animal control officer who has been alerted to a rabid pit bull in the backyard of a home that has, mauled a child. There's only one thing to do. There's only one thing to do. You put a bullet in it, and then you go about the business of, well now, pit bulls, huh? Rabies, huh? children in close proximity to them, ownership, all these things we can address. And we will. We will. I'll be the first guy in line to address them. But right now, there's the dog. It's foaming at the mouth. Kill it. Because Bowser, you know, did a bad thing. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kirby on the Phil Henry Show. Kirby?
Yes, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, listen, I just wanted to add, because I've listened to all these people talk, it's just aggravating me to death. I work with an African-American that's a Muslim. And in the past, we've debated our religious beliefs. I'm a Christian. But I had asked him also about how he felt about the radical Muslims. And it has he is not... I mean, they don't even consider them Muslims. The Muslim faith doesn't even consider them part of their faith.
Well, how come I got to hear this from you? Why don't I hear it from them?
Well, now, I spoke to him about this incident, and he was so upset. He said, if I was a younger man, I would be more than willing to join the military and fight. But he's a red-blooded American.
I don't doubt that for a minute. I don't doubt that for a minute. Doubt it for a minute. But what I said was, is... Now you're calling me Kirby and telling me this, okay?
Right.
You know,
right.
They just had an international conference of hardline Islamic fundamentalists called the Jerusalem Conference back in February, where they were plotting a holy war against Israel and the United States. Well, whoop-de-doo, ain't that great? Like, we ain't heard that one before. What I'd love to hear is an international conference of Islamic leaders who want to combat that kind of thing, who want to talk about the survival of our two countries. All I hear from the Middle East are these Islamic fundamentalist, whatever the hell these cats call themselves, talking about the new jihad, the new war against Israel, the new and unique and interesting ways to mess up America and Israel. What new bombs can we make? What new young man can we strap a bomb to and send him into a crowded pizzeria? Why did some of these old creeps do that? I'd love to see this Bin Laden strap a bomb to himself and walk into a pizzeria, preferably one that's closed. And that blind sheikh, you could strap all the bombs you want to that guy, drop him out of an airplane. All these old, dried-up, pruned-up mullahs who send young men, misguided, misled, philosophically polluted, out into the world as human bombs, kamikazes, at the behest of these old, dried-up, despicable old fiends. And they're the only face in Islam that I see. The only face I see. Now, when it comes to someone of right thinking in the Islamic faith, and I have no doubt that they exist. I just don't hear from them. I'm not talking about calling my show. That's one thing. We've heard over the last week many people of the Islamic faith calling the show, talking about their faith. We've seen them on television. But where are the leaders? Where are the mullahs who believe that Israel has the right to exist? We're the mullahs that believe that America is not Satan. We're the people of that faith who believe that these two countries have the right to exist and continue to flourish, and maybe someday even have good relations with the rest of the world. Where are they? No, they're nowhere, man. I don't know where they are, but they tell me they're out there. They tell me that there's a lot of really good Muslims, and I believe it. I don't doubt it for a minute. What we can use here, though, is a little help, man. Remember when you're a kid and you're playing ball, the ball got away. Little help over here? Yo, we get a little help from some of you? Only every time I ever hear from the Islamic community of America is when they've been targeted, and they should speak out, absolutely should speak out, when they have been wrongfully targeted by hate groups. Yes, of course, it's wrong. You're right. I'd like to hear from you other times. And I'd like to see something global. These pockets of protestation, these small communities here and there speaking out when international events of this magnitude happen, that's one thing. But how about something that is global in nature on the lines of what is being perpetrated against our country right now by these guys like Bin Laden and the blind sheikh and all these other guys that seem to have the ear of every young Muslim in that region? In Pakistan right now, that country is at risk. The leadership has decided that they're going to support the United States, and we thank them for that, but they're doing it at great political risk because all those hardliners are out in the streets screaming, pumping their fist in the air, burning an American flag. If it wasn't so absolutely wrong. It would be dull. I mean, how many times we've seen it? I mean, how many times you want to see some cat with a beard and a little beanie pumping his fist in the air and going, USA sucks, or whatever the new version of it is? Down with America, death to America, America's a great Satan, pile of crap. Never mind that America has a significant Muslim community. Forget about that. Where the people practice their religion free and clear, side by side with other peoples of other faiths. And we even have atheists here. And guess what? We all seem to make this thing work, man. 200 years going strong. Never mind that. Well, we know those guys are insane. We realize that, like I said, they're rabid dogs who need a bullet. I'd like to hear from Islamic leaders who have got their marbles. Just one. Some Islamic leader of international note who's got all of his freaking marbles, who can stand up like a man and say, this is wrong, even if he's risking assassination. I mean, I realize it's a difficult thing. Any of those guys down there that seem to speak out, have the temerity to speak out against this behavior, wind up on the other end of a gun. Well, somebody's got to stop it. So guess who that task falls to? America, once again, because we ain't getting no help. So now we got to throw American soldiers into that mix. And we know the game. This is not a secret. We've heard it all before. We're going to go down there. They're going to open the furnace of hell for us, and we're all going to rot, and Allah is going to kill us, and we're just a pile of crap, and we're infidels, and we're Satans, and we're this, and we're that, and we're something else. And we got to take our World Trade Center bombings and like it. We got to take it like men and women and smile and ask for more. I guess that's what they want us to do. Well, then that would make us just as goofy as them. I got a break? I'm going to break. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Stock market went down like 600 plus points today. I heard the phrase used this morning that this was a winding down. The stock market was not in session, as you know, for a good 4 or 5 days, and so much of this was anticipated. And if you haven't heard, and I think it's important to keep this in mind, even though it went down some 600 plus points, the percentage drop, which was 7%, was nowhere near the largest drop the stock market has ever seen. In fact, it's not even in the top 10 of percentage-wise drops the Dow Industrials have suffered over the course of the history of the New York Stock Exchange. So it was a big drop, but they said the trading was organized, and it wasn't some crazy scene there on Wall Street. Not that I get all of it all that readily. I do know that I don't have any money in the stock market yet. But there was a big sell-off, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'll tell you one thing that happened to us this weekend. We went out to dinner. Marie and I took the kids out to dinner a couple of times. The restaurants were packed. Packed! We couldn't get a table at one place. We had to take the kids someplace else. Last night I met the family for dinner. Every restaurant filled with people. I mean, everybody's got an appetite. It's Phil Hendry Show.